have your Bibles, we open them, please, to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, the 35th chapter. Exodus 35. We'll begin reading at verse 4. Exodus 35. Moses said to the whole Israelite community, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take from what you have an offering for the Lord. Everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering of gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, and fine linen, goat hair, ram skins dyed red, hides of sea cows, acacia wood, olive oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastplate." Dropping down to verse 20. "Then the whole Israelite community withdrew from Moses' presence, and everyone who was willing and whose heart moved him came and brought an offering to the Lord for the work of the tent of meeting, for all of its service, and for the sacred garments. And all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought gold jewelry of all kinds, brooches, earrings, rings, ornaments. They all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. And everyone who had blue, purple, scarlet yarn, fine linen, goat hair, ram skins, dyed red, hides of sea cows, brought them. Those presenting an offering of silver and bronze brought it as an offering to the Lord. And everyone who had acacia wood for any part of the work brought it. Every skilled woman spun with her hands and brought what she had spun, blue, purple, scarlet yarn, or fine linen. And all the women who were willing and had the skill spun the goat hair. The leaders brought onyx stones and other gems to be mounted on the ephod and the breastpiece. They also brought spices and olive oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord freewill offerings for all the work the Lord through Moses had commanded them to do." Dropping down into chapter 36. Chapter 36, verse 4. Verse 3, excuse me. "And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, 'The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work that the Lord had commanded to be done.' Then Moses gave an order, and they sent this word throughout the camp: 'No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary.' And so the people were restrained from bringing more, because they already had more than enough to do all the work." Heard the story of a young man working in a department store for a very righteous boss, a boss that wanted to justify everything according to Scripture. The department in which the young man worked was a department selling cloth by the yard. He was working one afternoon, and a woman came in and said, "Young man, I want the very best cloth that you have." The young man shuffled underneath the cabinet and brought out a piece of cloth that cost $6.98 a yard. And she looked at it and she said, "Young man, I told you I want the best yarn that you have, the best cloth that you have." He took it off and put it down underneath the thing and found the most expensive, best cloth they had. He pulled it out and put it on the cabinet and said, "Ma'am, this cost $11.98 a yard." And she looked at him and said, "Young man, I told you I want the best." The young man, knowing that was the best, took it off the counter, put it underneath the cabinet, found another one just like it that again sold for $11.98 a yard, put it up on the cabinet and said, "Ma'am, I will sell you this yarn for $29.98 a yard." The lady looked at him and said, "That's exactly what I wanted, the best." And so he measured it off and cut it and sold it to her. And when she left, he had the responsibility to go and tell his boss what he had done, this righteous man who wanted to justify things by Scripture. When he told his boss he had taken this $11.98 a yard stuff and sold it for $29.98 a yard, his boss was extremely angry with him. He said, "How dare you do that, young man? I am so angry with you that you do that. Can you give me one principle from Scripture that would justify your actions in doing that to that woman?" The young man thought all was lost until finally he thought of a Scripture. She was a stranger, and I took her in. You come this morning on this day of high attendance, and suddenly you begin to hear a word about giving to the Lord, and you might think, I was a stranger, and you took me in. But I want to take you into one of the most joyous times in the Old Testament. It was a time of joyous celebration because of the giving hearts of God's people. Normally, God's people, Old and New Testaments, brought their offerings to God on a regular, premeditated basis. In the Old Testament, it was the tithe. They gave a tenth of their flocks and a tenth of all that they earned, a tenth of their fields. In the New Testament, the principle is given in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, when Paul says that everyone ought to lay by in store that he is going to give to God, that he's prospered, as he's been prospered, he ought to lay by in store the first day of every week and give it unto the Lord. Premeditated, planned giving. But every once in a while in the Bible, you'll see a day of special giving. A day when God has asked His people to come with a special offering unto God and to offer that in celebration and worship to Him. The occasion in Exodus 35 is one of those special occasions. For God's people are taking up a collection to build a sanctuary that is going to be with them throughout their wilderness wanderings. It is a special occasion of giving marked by special joy and celebration. This morning, as we come together as God's family here at Quail Springs, we come on a special occasion of giving. A special giving over and above what we normally and regularly give. And I am convinced that our spirit ought to be one of joy and celebration. And the principles that are given in the 35th chapter of Exodus are those that we want to concentrate on this morning. There are two or three things I want you to notice from the text. First of all, whenever we come to give an offering unto God, it is given to us that we are to have the proper motivation for giving. God recommends the right motivation in Exodus 35. Let me ask you, what motivates you to give? Is it guilt? Is it entirely from a sense of duty? Is it because you have ulterior motives that maybe God is going to bless you if you give? Is it that you give that maybe somebody's going to be impressed by what you give, where you give, and how often you give? What is your motive for giving? God recommends two motivations for giving in Exodus 35. The first one is worshipfulness. Worshipfulness. Notice the words that are used in this passage. He says in verse 5 that we are to take, he says, take from what you have an offering for the Lord. That word in the Hebrew is a word that means to set apart from what you have and declare it sacred unto God. It is also a word that describes a heave offering. Heave offering. They did not have checkbooks like we have today. They would literally take the best of their flock or the best of their fields, and they would bring it unto God, and they would literally heave it up on the altar and give it unto God. It was an act of worship to the Hebrew people to take what they have and heave it up and give it as an offering sacred unto God. We kind of lose that feeling, I know. We've got these checks that are encoded, magnetic encoded, and we write out the amount, and it's so small, you know, it just kind of fits in the deal. And along comes the offering plate, and we pitch it in there to some unseen money counter somewhere behind the scenes, and we don't have the feeling sometimes that what we're doing is giving an offering unto God. It is a part of us in celebration of God's goodness. But that was the idea that the Hebrews had. There's another word in there that I want you to see about this worship thing, and that is in verse 22. It says, they all presented their gold as a wave offering to the Lord. Somehow, and we don't know exactly how, the Hebrews, when they came with their offering, lifted it up as if to say, God, this is sacred unto you, and somehow they waved it before God. It was, I'm sure, an impressive sight as these hundreds of thousands of Hebrews gathered in the Sinai desert, and each one lifted up what they had brought to God and waved it before the Lord. A wave offering. Folks, we never approach the biblical concept of giving until we understand, first and foremost, it is an act of worship. Whenever we have the chance to give what God has blessed us with unto God, it is an act of worship. It is not some crass recess in the service whenever the plate comes down the aisle. It is an act of worship where we say, oh God, this is for you. The second thing that he teaches us in here is that the motivation for giving is not only worshipfulness, but there must be a willingness. A willingness. Did you notice as we read through this thing over and over again, that willingness is underscored. In verse 5, everyone who is willing is to bring to the Lord an offering. In verse 21, everyone who was willing and whose heart moved them came. Verse 22, all who were willing, men and women alike, came and brought. Verse 26, all the women who were willing. Verse 29, and the Israelite men and women who were willing brought to the Lord. Over and over again, this term willingness is emphasized. This word translated willingness is a word that means a compulsion to give. It describes a position of heart where I am compelled, I am driven to give on the basis of what God has done for me. That is the willingness that is to be there. Over and over, Moses says to his people, God wants a willing offering. God wants what your heart compels you to do, what your heart drives you to do. That is what I want. You know, back there in the Old Testament days of Moses, God could have dropped right out there in the Sinai Desert a building that would have surpassed the beauty and magnificence of the Taj Mahal if God had wanted to. He could have done that. There were other magnificent buildings that were around when Moses was. There were the pyramids of Giza, impressive, much more impressive than the tabernacle these people built. Down the Nile River, about 300 miles at Luxor, there was the Temple of Karnak, an incredible edifice. There was going to be the Parthenon on the Acropolis at Athens, an incredible thing. But all of those buildings were built by cringing slaves at the end of a cracking whip over their backs. And God said, I don't want that for my people. I want what their heart dictates they give. I want a loving offering from loving children that give out of what their heart dictates they give. I want a willingness to be there. And the Bible says, these people who were willing came and shared their offering. These people who were willing, whose hearts dictated that they do so, came out of celebration and gave what they wanted to give. Folks, as we gather this morning, that willingness is what God is interested in. He is not so much interested in the substance of what we give as He is the willingness to do so. He wants our willingness more than He wants our substance. And whenever there's a willingness there, God blesses that willingness. There's a second thing from this passage that I want you to notice. Not only has God given the recommendation for the motivation to give, but God also commends the participation of those who give. If you've noticed again, as we went through this thing, over and over again, it talks about the wide participation of everybody who gave an offering that day. It says everyone, verse 5, who's willing. It says, verse 20, the whole Israelite community withdrew. It says everyone, verse 21. Verse 22, all who were willing. Verse 26, all the women who were willing. It says verse 29, all the Israelite men and women. There was a widespread participation that God commends as these people give as their heart dictates. I think it must have been an impressive thing to see these hundreds of thousands of people, every one of them giving what they could, what their heart dictated that they give, bringing it as an offering before God, as a celebration of God's goodness to them. There seems to be a leadership taken by the women, in fact. The women seem to have had an incredible willingness. For the women came giving their gold jewelry, saying, in essence, we'd rather beautify the house of God than ourselves. And they came giving all that they could give for the participation in building the house of God, the tabernacle that would be with them throughout the day. I'll tell you something, folks. If we, as a family of God at Quail Springs, are going to move into the vision and into the opportunity that we can have as a church, we're going to have to change the present reality as they are. Here's the fact of the matter, because we've done the studies. 50% of this church family underwrites 100% of the church finances. 50% of this church family underwrites 100% of the church finances of the work that happens here. If we are ever going to move into the vision and opportunity and growth that is ours as a church, we're going to have to change that. There's going to have to be a deal where all God's family come, not a single hand empty, to give their offering unto God. The participation is shown also in the kinds of gifts that were given. Some gave gold and silver and bronze and precious gems. Some gave gifts out of affluence. They were affluent, some of them, and they could give gifts of affluence. But I'm glad that the Word of God didn't stop there. It went on to say that some of them gave goat hair. They didn't have anything of substance they could give, but they said, what I can give is hair off my animals. And we can take that and weave that into a tent that can be used in the tabernacle of God. I'll give what I can. Here's goat hair. Some of them, it says, gave acacia wood. I mean, they went out into the riverbeds having nothing else to give, and they got that old gnarled, rough, thorny acacia wood that probably ripped their hands when they gathered it and came and gave it to the Lord rather than come empty-handed. There was a widespread participation, a willingness that possessed God's people. I got to tell you something. I love it that Moses didn't have a scheme. Moses didn't say, I tell you what, if you'll give to this project, we will send you in the mail a serpent and dove pen. You know, Moses didn't say on the Sinai television network, if you don't give this money by March 31st, I'm going to die. I mean, there wasn't that approach at all. It was as God moves your heart to do so, you give. That's what we're here to do today. There's no scheme involved in this thing. I suppose that the elders could have divvied up all of the names on the church directory. I suppose they could have done this. And the elders could have called some of the people who were affluent and said, listen, it's time to do it. And we need 75 or 90 families to give $1,000. Would you do that? I mean, I guess they could have done that. But folks, that doesn't even approach the biblical concept of what giving is. The heart of biblical giving is when your heart drives you to do so and you recognize it as a worship to God, you willingly give as your heart dictates that you give. That's why there was such celebration on that occasion and why there'll be such celebration today. I want to say something to you as your preacher, all right? You give today what your heart dictates you give. And next Sunday, and the Sunday after that, and the Sunday after that, as your heart. Don't give one penny more than your heart dictates you give. Because that, and only that, is what God blesses. You know, a strange thing happened out there in the desert. The Bible says that their giving was such lavishness. There was such a widespread participation and a spirit of God that sometimes moves over God's people, possessed these people to the point they just kept giving. They just kept giving. They kept giving. And finally, Moses had to say, whoa, time out, time out. We got more than we need. Quit giving. And an edict goes out to the camp. Don't give anymore. We got more than we can use to build this tabernacle. I was sitting around this week thinking about this passage. I know how that happened. It says morning after morning in verse 3. Morning after morning they brought. I know how that happened. As that joyous generosity began to possess the people of God, they'd go home at night and something they hadn't even contemplated giving before. They're sitting around the supper table talking. He said, you know, that felt so good. Why don't we give so and so? And the wife would say, yeah, I don't need those earrings. Let's. So the next morning, they'd get up and the first thing, they'd run over to Moses, or run over the skilled craftsman, and give their offering for the temple, for the tabernacle. They'd go back home that night, and that joyous attitude was such that they'd talk about it again and say, you know, there's something else I thought about today that maybe we could give for the building of the tabernacle. And they'd talk about it and say, yeah, I think that's a great idea. And together, they'd get and they'd run over there the next morning, and they'd give. And morning after morning, that went on. Until finally, Moses had to say, hey, stop giving. Can you imagine that happening in the Church of Christ? Can you imagine an elder getting up and saying, listen, brethren, we got more than we can use for this work here. Y'all quit giving. Let's start finding some other place to give. Because God, we got more than we need to handle the work here. Let's find some other place that needs it. I know this. We're probably not in danger of that happening. But I know this. We've got the ability to give like that. It just means God moving on our hearts to begin to give as our heart dictates. When that happens, the blessing of God and the work of God begins to explode, and there's a joyous feeling of celebration that possesses God's people that cannot be deterred. Cannot be. I want to close with this story. I was listening last week to a Baptist preacher tell about being at Oklahoma Baptist University right over here at Shawnee a few weeks ago. Apparently, OBU had started a fundraising drive to help underwrite some of the causes, some of the building expansion or something of OBU. And so this guy had been over there and some of the special things they had been doing, preaching at one of those things, and he was talking with their vice president of development at Oklahoma Baptist University. And this guy began to share with this preacher that was telling this story how that there was a woman in Memphis, Tennessee, that had given the most unusual gift that he'd ever had in all of his years of fundraising for Oklahoma Baptist University. He said, it moved me more than any gift I've ever received of all the gifts I've gotten. He said, well, tell me about it. He said, this woman called from Memphis, Tennessee. She's an elderly woman. And he said, she was a graduate of Oklahoma Baptist University way back years ago. And he said, she called me and said, because of the meaning and the richness of what I received at Oklahoma Baptist University, I want to give something, but I don't have any money to give. So I have decided literally to give myself. And she said, here's what I mean by that. I have been saving for a few years money that has been set aside for my final expenses. And she said, I learned the other day that the state of Tennessee, if you will donate your body to medical research and medical science, they will pick up the tab for all the final expenses. The state will do that. And so she said, I'm literally going to give myself, and I'm going to take the money I've been setting aside, and I'm going to give all of that money to Oklahoma Baptist University. And this vice president of development was telling this preacher, I have never had a gift in all my life that moved me like that. Well, I tell you this story for this one reason. I believe that if you love the work of the Lord and the Lord of the work, you can find a way to bring an offering to God. Let me repeat that. If you love the work of the Lord and the Lord of the work, you can find a way to bring an offering to God. But you do as your heart dictates, and God will bless it. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for this church family. Thank you for the work that you're doing through us and among us. Father, thank you for example after example after example in this family of people whose hearts move them, who bring an offering that celebrates your goodness in their life, week in, week out, day in, day out. And oh God, we pray that your spirit of generosity will possess us today and every day, and that we'll want to give an offering to you out of the willingness of our hearts and remembering that it is an act of worship. We want to give you the best that we have because we love you. We thank you for loving us. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Church family, this is something that we've been planning about, talked about, prayed about. Correspondence has been received. Today is our day of commitment. It is a day where we do purpose to the work of God here. Yes, it's a day where we underwrite the work that needs to be done here. It's also a day of special giving, where we're going to give over and above what we normally give in order to help the work of God in this place and to help some needs of some people in this family who are really, really hurting. So we're going to ask the ushers at this time, they have purpose cards. We're going to ask that if you're a member of this family, to take one of these cards. The ushers are going to be passing them out right now. You take one of these purpose cards as it comes by and just hold it for a minute, okay, until everyone has a card. We're going to ask the ushers to do that. Paralleled in human history. And this morning he offers you that generous gift for you simply to receive and give thanks. This morning, the invitation of Jesus is extended. And if you'd like to respond in a public way to his invitation, would you come right now while we stand and sing?
Got off to a good start. Our special giving this morning was $62,141.96. It's a good start. For those of you who didn't have an opportunity to be a part of our special Extra Mile Sunday. You'll be given that opportunity tonight, of course, when it comes communion time, or you don't have to wait for communion. You can just write out your checks for thousands or two thousands, and any one of the elders will be happy to take it. It's a good start. We know some of you didn't have a chance this morning, and you'll be given that opportunity again tonight, and for that matter, anytime. And then we also got off to what we think to be a pretty good start on purposing. For those of you who were this morning who braved the rain and the weather and whatever else, our purposing as of this morning is $16,561.61. I've already noticed we kidded Ronnie this morning saying we kept expecting him to have us take our purpose cards and hold them up and wave them, wave offering, but he didn't. But Bob Rowland has already waved one at me tonight. So I know there's some more, and there will be some of you who did not have an opportunity to purpose this morning. I know that invariably when we announce a number like that and it comes out to be $561.61, how did we get a purpose that comes out in 61 cents? You know, when you look at some of those purpose cards, that 61 cents is really a kind of remarkable thing. It always gives me great pleasure to know that there's some 61 cents hanging in there somehow, because that meant that somebody or bodies, sometimes the young people, but some even of adults, who calculate and plan their giving to the point that in an effort to purpose a tithe, calculated out to the penny. And so when I see pennies on end of a number, I say that's good, because somebody has done some very close calculating about what they want to give. Now the next time we can just encourage them to round it up to the next $100, but still it's a good sign. We're grateful. We will be working on this, and for those purposes that haven't come in and those of you who haven't had a chance to give, you'll be given that opportunity some more. So we're grateful. Now, if you would, please join me in prayer. Our Father, we are always grateful to you for the generosity of the family that meets here and prays together and studies together and worships together. We're grateful, Father, that when they are asked to do so, that they rally around your cause and give and purpose and plan and work to your glory. And so, Father, tonight we give you the praise and the glory for the money that was given today and for the purposes for the next year. And we pray, Father, that it will even become greater and better, and that we'll catch hold of the vision that you would have that we have, we might do and give even beyond our ability. Father, tonight we come to you in a very special way, praying for a very special thing that goes on in our lives. And those of our young people and even older ones who go during the summers and otherwise to lands beyond our shores to tell others about Jesus. Father, we're grateful for young people who will take their summer or part of their summer. They'll go to places around the world, and that they'll give of themselves that they may tell others about Jesus. Father, we're grateful for them. We are thankful that you protected our young people as they traveled this summer. We look forward now to an opportunity to hear from them about their experiences and what it has meant to their lives and the lives of those with whom they were able to share Jesus. Father, we pray for our missionaries everywhere. We're grateful for the generosity of this congregation that supports places like Singapore and Guatemala and Mexico's and Brazil's and places around the world, names of which sometimes we don't even know where it is. We're grateful for generosity and also the people who go. We're thankful for Mel and his wife who work for you in Brazil. And for those who work in Guatemala and Singapore, the other places here and abroad that this congregation so generously supports. So, Father, we give you our thanks, and we pray, Father, for your blessings upon those who have gone and come back and those who have stayed to continue working. You will protect them. You will bless them in their efforts, that your kingdom might be glorified, your name might be magnified. Father, help us to be able, when we cannot go ourselves, that we might be able to send. Help us have a vision of things around the world that we can do, and help us to care enough, not only to send, but also care enough to do ourselves and to be a missionary in our own household. We thank you, Father, for all of your blessings, for these who have done this, for all the blessings you bestow upon us. We pray for your forgiveness, Father, for we are weak, we are sinners, and we need your forgiveness. So, Father, we give you thanks in a special way for these of our missionaries. And we pray for your continued blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
These past few Sunday evenings, we have been talking about our personal responsibility to share the good news that Jesus saves with those around us. And I believe with all of my heart that the greatest need in our world today is more people to tell the story that Jesus saves. I think that I shared with you the first or second Sunday night we began that series that 10 years ago in our fellowship, we had about 850 missionaries on foreign soil out proclaiming the good news. 10 years later, as they have done some recent studies at Abilene Christian University, we have now about 450, which is just barely more than half of what we had 10 years ago. There's a tremendous need in our fellowship to encourage young people, young men, young women, to contemplate going and proclaiming Jesus in another part of the world. I'm grateful to be a part of a congregation of God's people that are interested in mission work. And we spend a great deal of our time and money and emphasis on missions. One of the great parts of our missions program has to do with our young people. Many of our young people go on campaigns during the summer, as Jess mentioned in his prayer. They go to different parts of the world and sometimes different parts of the country to do mission work for the cause of Christ during the summer. We have not only some of our young people who did that this past summer, but also some of our adults who are professional people. And our missions committee, who works extremely hard on our mission program, has asked that tonight they direct this service and going to be sharing some of the work that was done by our young people during their campaigns this summer. They'll be sharing with you what they did and how and why and what that trip meant to them. But I want to introduce to you Larry Vinzant. If you do not know Larry already, Larry is on our missions program. He grew up on a mission field with his father and mother down in Brazil, speaks Portuguese fluently still, is a fine, fine young man, and is one of our deacons here, and he has worked very closely with our missions committee and especially with these young people and others who've gone on campaign work. So I'm going to introduce to you Larry Vinzant, and he in turn will introduce those who are going to be involved.
Thank you, Ronnie.